When I think of the Christmas story and how quickly things changed for Mary and Joseph, I ask myself, I wonder if they were using a phrase that I found myself using a lot in the last couple of months, and that is how quickly the world can change. Mary was tapped on the shoulder by an angel who told her that there's going to be this immaculate conception that's going to happen, and she is going to give birth to the Son of the living God. She gasped how quickly her world just changed. Joseph got a visit as well. Angel came and told him, you're going to raise the Son of God in your house. You're going to teach him carpentry skills in your shop. How quickly his world just changed. You see, we have phrases that are part of our shared lexicon, aren't they? Phrases that we say and immediately draw an understanding. Phrases like terrorism or Brexit, refugees, Zika, or fake news. I mean, phrases up until just a couple of weeks and months ago, we may not have known, but now when you say them, everyone understands exactly what you mean. How quickly the world can change. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, going through a really tough time in life. I said, hey, why don't you come down and spend a couple days with me here in Florida? He said, sure. A couple days later, he and his mother and one of his daughters were tragically killed in a car accident. How quickly the world can change. And literally this year, we believed it was the year. We believed that this was the year that our Jags were going to go deep into the playoffs. How quickly the world can change. But I believe in Christmas miracles because we got one today. Congrats to the Jags for a big win today. You see, things change quickly, and when they change quickly, it always isn't a bad thing. The Cullum House changed a lot this year. I remember what Christmas, the very first Christmas with my boys when they were little, and now they have grown up a ton. I have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old, which marks a very important calendar date in our lives. I have two boys who are now both driving vehicles. Whew, a lot of prayers happened this year. But it's also been an encouraging year because it's a good change. They always say that when kids get their driver's license, it's, you know, freedom for them. It's they get to hit the open road and go where they please. But I found the opposite is true. It is freedom for me. I am no longer driving them to school every day. I'm no longer driving to practices. I'm no longer driving errands. I can say, hey, go get this. It is a good change that's happened in our house. And how quickly, though, the world does change. And you think of the Christmas story, you think of what was going on, and then you fast forward the tape about 30 years. Jesus walks out of that carpentry shop. He walks down to the River Jordan where he gets baptized. And a voice from heaven says, this is my son, with him I am well pleased. And from that day on, the next 3 years were a roller coaster ride of change. One day, Jesus is walking down the road and comes upon a man who cannot walk. He is lame. He heals him and restores his ability to walk. One day, Jesus is entering a city and sees a man who is blind. He heals him and restores his vision. One day, Jesus is approached by 10 lepers, and Jesus cleanses them and heals them. Another day, Jesus is teaching over 5,000 people, and they get hungry. And so Jesus decides to feed them with a little boy's snack pack from Long John Silver's. Things were changing. And then there's Lazarus. Story of Jesus' good friend Lazarus who dies. They bury him. He is literally in the tomb for a better part of a week. And then Jesus shows up and raises him from the dead. How quickly the world can change. And it seemed like everything was coming to a crashing halt when Jesus was arrested and tried and savagely beaten. That immaculate conception that led to 30 years of preparation for 3 years of ministry for 3 hours of purpose. You see, that Good Friday between the hours of 6 and 9, Jesus hung on the cross for the sins of mankind. He was executed between two common criminals. How quickly the world can change. But he did not stay dead. He blew the stone off of that grave and he revealed himself to his disciples, to his followers. He showed up to 500 people at one time. Their minds were blown. And then 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. But before he did, he left these words with his followers. He said, I want you to take my light. I want you to take my hope. I want you to take my love. I want you to take my grace. I want you to take my forgiveness to the world. Because I want you to change lives. I want you to transform lives. Listen, I've been a pastor now nearly 25 years, and the thing that I'm continually astonished by day in and day out is how much some people's lives change. I have had the incredible privilege of having a front row seat watching thousands upon thousands of people's lives change, all because of this baby in a manger. Now, I know some of you go, well, Jason, people don't change. They don't change. I mean, they are who they are. They're like leopard spots, you know. They're always going to be there. They might fade a little bit, but they're always going to be there. And I get that. I get that view of things. And that would be the case if people just continue to live just the same old life. You know what I'm talking about? You get up at the same old time when that same old alarm clock goes off. You walk in that same old bathroom and look at that same old face in the same old mirror. You get out that same old toothbrush and use that same old toothpaste. You get in that same old shower and use the same old soap and the same old shampoo. You get out and use that same old ratty towel to dry off, and you go in that same old, you know, closet to look at the same old wardrobe. You pick out the same old shirt, the same old tie. And you walk down that same old kitchen where you pour that same old cup of coffee in that same old mug. You read that same old paper. You get up, you kiss the same old wife goodbye. You go to that same old car and you drive the same old way to the same old job. You park in the same old spot. You go to that same old cube. You laugh at the same old lame jokes from your same old lame boss. You end your day at that same old time. You go back to that same old car. You drive home the same old way. You fight the same old traffic. You pull in that same old neighborhood. You wave that same old neighbor. You pull in that same old driveway. You get out, hug the same old kids. You eat the same old food at the same old table. You go sit in that same old chair watching the same old Wheel of Fortune. You go to bed that same old time. You ask the wife the same old question. You get the same old answer. You roll over. Some of you caught it. All right, good. Last hour, they weren't awake yet, evidently. I don't know. You roll over and you wait for that alarm clock to go off at the same old time again. And you just do that day after day after day. It's just the same old life. And when you live that same old life, no, nothing ever seems to change. And people say, Jason, people that are nasty just get nastier. People that are mean just get meaner. People that are grumpy just get grumpier. People that are greedy just get greedier. They never change. Listen, I believe in a God who is all about life change. I believe in a God who is about life transformation. I've seen thousands of people in this church, their lives radically changed for eternity, all because of this little baby in a manger. Listen, this year alone, we've baptized 470 people in this church, right over there. 470 people have had their life transformed. How quickly the world can change. I've seen mean, nasty, grumpy, prejudiced people go through a transformation, and they become the most loving, kind, inclusive people that I've ever met. How quickly the world can change. I've seen greedy people, people who say, this is my money, it's my stuff, it's my business, it's my house, it's my car. They go through this transformation and they become the most radically generous people that I have ever met. How quickly the world can change. I've met people who are all about them. It's me, 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 me. They live in this selfie world, taking their selfie pictures with their selfie sticks. But they go through a transformation, and they become the most selfless people I've ever met. Constantly caring, looking out for those who are marginalized, looked over, and lost. How quickly the world can change. I believe in a God who transforms lives. And if you don't believe God can still transform lives, let me introduce you right now to a friend of mine named David. Watch his story.
Would you just kind of share kind of where you were, you know, before you really met Jesus and started walking with Jesus. What was going on in your life?
I thought I knew everything. I was definitely empty, I would say is the best word that I can describe. I was just a shell of a person with good intentions but no direction. You know, I thought that stealing and running with bad people and doing drugs and drinking alcohol, you know, I thought that was what life was all about because that's where people took the most note of me and gave me the most love at the time.
What did that do to you physically? And what was that doing to your relationships in your life?
Lost a child. I have a son. I never even got to hold him one time because I ended up getting locked up while I was in jail is when the cancer came. So I was put into a situation where I had to be totally alone with my thoughts and with a disease that I thought I was dying from. That's when I picked up the New Testament. That's all I could find. And I just read it from beginning to end two or three times. The Lord spoke to me at that time. It was a very distant communication, but that's where my original seed got planted. And I started praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said, there's no expiration date on you, and it's never too late to turn over a new leaf.
You knew him before jail and after jail. When he got out of jail, tell me what you saw that was different than when he went into jail.
He had a totally different outlook on life, I would definitely say. He started going to church a lot more, which he never did before he went to jail. And then after I got pregnant with our daughter and I had her is when like a totally different person came out. He's a awesome dad. He does anything he can for our daughter. He always spends time with her.
Tell me, what does grace, that word, I mean, what does that truly mean to you now that you've experienced grace in your life?
Grace is the bridge that crosses you into peace. Grace is something that everybody should be given and deserves by all means, and I try to give grace every day. Because I know that I've been given the biggest grace of all because I'm here talking to you now. I'm alive. I survived cancer. I came out of jail and I've been cut short. You know, that's all the world would remember me as, is someone who was drunk or someone who was high and wrapped himself around a telephone pole. Or yeah, I remember that guy. He stole my hubcaps back in 89. You know what I mean? But grace is the reason why I'm here today. And grace is the reason why I can even hold my head up high, because without that, no one can fully heal or become the better version of who they really are.
What would you say to somebody who says, it's too late for me, I can't be changed, I can't be transformed?
Brother, you got another thing coming, because I breathe through my neck, I talk like Voltron. I died and I was reborn, and that's what you get when you're baptized, and when you tell God that you're going to live for Him, you're reborn, you're a new person. That person that you are right now is not going to exist anymore.
One, I just want to say thanks for all you guys have done. We just love your hearts. We love your heart to serve, heart to give, and so we want to give you guys a gift this Christmas, and we want that gift to match up with God's calling on your lives and what God is calling you to do. And so what we're giving to you is we want to provide you guys an opportunity that we're going to pick up for you to go on a mission trip anywhere around the world with us and Christ Church team this year. Wherever around the world that we're going to do mission work, we want to invite you to come along with us, guys, and be a part of it and just continue to see what God is doing in your lives to unfold just His purpose and plan for you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all. That is so awesome.
Thank you so much.
How quickly the world can change. We're going to move into a time of communion. If you're visiting with us, this is something we do each and every week around here at Christ Church. Our server is going to come down. They're going to pass some trays. There'll be two cups stacked on top of one another. Take both of them and then just hold on to them for a few moments. And we're going to take communion together as a faith family. you know, I don't care how much you try to talk me out of it. I will never believe that God is not in the transformation and change business. I believe with all my heart that is who he is and what he is all about. And I believe that there's an incredible opportunity for you here this Christmas. And it's what I've been praying for you. Because I believe many of you are just two words away from your life being changed for eternity. You see, I know some of you came in here tonight without a lot of joy in your life right now. Maybe you don't have a lot of peace in your life this Christmas because there's a relational rift that's going on. It hurts really bad. It hurts deeply. And you've given up all hope that you're ever going to be able to put that relationship back together. Listen, you're just two words away. Two words away from a change. And maybe you'll go before Christmas and you'll knock on a door or you'll pick up a phone and you'll say two words that could change your life. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for the pain I caused. I'm sorry for how I've hurt you. I'm just sorry. I don't expect you to say I'm sorry. I just want you to know that I'm really, really sorry. I mean, how many of us can say those two words this Christmas? Listen, I've seen divorces averted. I've seen families reunited. I've seen business partnerships restored. I've seen friendships rebuilt, all because someone had the courage to simply say those two words. I'm sorry. How quickly your world could change. I know some of you came in here tonight with a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. Maybe you struggled singing some of the songs tonight. Maybe right now you're struggling, questioning whether or not you even deserve to take communion because your life is spinning out of control. Your spending is out of control. Your eating is out of control. Your drinking is out of control. You know it. Everyone else around you knows it. And your life is heading for a disaster. Maybe this Christmas, the two words you simply need to say is, help me. Help me do what I can't do on my own. Help me do what I can't do under my own power. How quickly your world could change. Some of you received some devastating news this year. Some of you received a phone call from your doctor. Said, I need to talk to you. You came in and sat down and they said, you have this or you have this. It's rocked your world. And listen, you need to, without embarrassment and without ceasing, say two words, heal me. Heal me. God, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the great physician. You are my healer. Would you just touch my life with your healing hand? You're two words away from having your life changed forever. Or some of you are dreading the next couple hours sitting around the table because you know as you sit around the table, you're going to see a spot that's now empty and your heart is hurting. Your heart is broken. Listen, my best advice I can give you is fall on your knees before our Creator and simply say, comfort me. Comfort me. He said, Jason, I know, but there's a huge hole in my heart. Listen, nobody can ever fill that hole except our Heavenly Father in our heart. And so just cry out to Him. Those two words, comfort me. Some of you walked in here today with a lot of regret. We got some stuff going on in life right now, some things that you're embarrassed about. Things you're trying to get under control, things you just try to do, but you can't seem to do it right. And you're carrying a ton of regret with you in your life right now. Maybe the two words you need to say this Christmas is simply, forgive me. Forgive me. I love the promise we have from God. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so has our God removed our transgressions. It's a beautiful picture he paints. You see, when you go north, eventually you get to the North Pole and you got to stop and head south to the South Pole. But when you go from east to west, it never ends. That's the forgiveness that we have from our Heavenly Father. And maybe those are the two words you simply need to say this Christmas, forgive me. Maybe you came in here tonight and you're confused, you're lost. You've got a big decision in front of you and you don't know what to do. Do I take the job? Do I turn it down? Do I move or do I stay here? Do I go to this school? Do I go to this school? Do I marry him or him or him? You don't know what to do. And maybe this Christmas, the two words you need to say, guide me. Guide me. How quickly your world could change. You know, you talk to people, So many of them say, you know where the change started happening in my life? It happened at a Christmas Eve service just like this one. So I didn't see what God was doing. I didn't see how it was all unfolding right in front of me. But as I was leading up to Christmas, I was running into people I hadn't seen in months. They'd invite me to church. They'd ask me how I was doing. I turn on the radio. I hear a song and something in me just, it clicked. Or I opened a book and read a passage in a book. And I'm like, wow, I never thought of it that way. I received a card or an invitation to come to a Christmas Eve service. So I said, all right, sure, I'm going to go. And I was on my way to that Christmas Eve service when I asked myself, is this the year? Is this the year I give my life to Jesus and begin this relationship? Listen, you don't need religion, all right? Religion's not going to do anything for you. Religion's just going to mess you up. What you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you came in here tonight and you're thinking, you know what, Jason, get out of my head. That's exactly what I was thinking. And listen, if that's where you are, you simply need to say these two words this Christmas. Save me. Save me. God, I need you. Save me. I can't do this on my own. Save me. I want to do life with you. Save me. The promise from Scripture is whoever confesses him, you will become a son of the Most High God. And when he says whoever, he means whoever. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you are now. Whoever means whoever. Gator fan, Bulldog fan. Jag fan, even Steeler fans. All right? Star Wars fanatics and normal people. All right? Everybody. Whoever means everybody. So maybe that's where you are this Christmas. And so if that's where you're at, just simply say, save me. How quickly your world could change. Listen, don't listen to the cynics. Don't listen to the people who said people can never change. People can never transform. Our Heavenly Father is in the transformation business. And when we hear about this silent night that was broken by the birth of this child, we're reminded that he is in the life-change business. And so I'm going to quit talking. I want to give you just a couple moments of silence to just think about what two words you need to share with Jesus this year. Just think about those two words, and then we're going to take communion together. And here's what I believe. Many of us in this room are two words away from the greatest life change that will last for eternity. Let's think about our words.